Last Sunday, I spoke about our longing for God, that our longing for God is both personal and about our hopes and dreams for the world. Advent is a season of the church year when we spend time reflecting about the meaning of waiting and preparing for the coming of God into our lives, welcoming God anew into our lives. We wait and we prepare because we are hoping, longing for, dreaming of that which we do not have or do not yet have in its fullness. Advent is a time of hoping, longing, dreaming. When we are in touch with or even curious about our longing for God and or our hopes and dreams, God can do a lot with that. Brian McLaren, in his book entitled We Make the Road by Walking, describes the dynamics of hope and desire and dreams in one's life. He writes, "Desires, hopes, and dreams inspire action, and that is what makes them so different from a wish. Wishing is a substitute for action. Our desires, hopes, and dreams for the future guide us in how we act now. And those who do that, they align their lives by their hope, and in that way, their lives are shaped by hope." How do we align our lives by our hope? And what sort of effect does that have on how we live? How are our lives shaped by hope? What actions are we taking because of our hopes and dreams? When we are making the road by walking, perhaps we are answering the call of John the Baptist, who comes to us as one crying out in the wilderness that we should make straight the way of the Lord. Could this mean to prepare the way for others to know the light of Christ? Following in the way of John the Baptist, we too testify to the light. And this light, the light of Christ, is known when we see happening that which the prophet Isaiah described. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good things to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the same section of Isaiah that Jesus is said to have read in the synagogue as he began his public ministry. Remember from Luke, we hear, "When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." And ever since that day, eyes have been fixed on him. Recently, I was accused of following an agenda. I think when that happens, we're probably doing something right. If I have an agenda at all, and we all have our things, right, that we care about, I would say this is my agenda. I hope it always is, to follow these words of Isaiah, to hold them in my heart, and I believe our church holds these words in the heart of our church, and to follow the words of Jesus. Isaiah was speaking to the hopes and dreams of people in a particular time and place, back from exile in Babylon beginning in 538 BC. But these words, those dreams, never lose their power or appeal. And when Jesus read those words and said to the people that those words were fulfilled in their hearing, in that moment, in him, well, some were angered. But many did find those words fulfilled in their experience of Jesus, just as many do now. And in our hopes and dreams for peace, justice, and healing, we do more than wish. We act. We act to help others know the light of Christ, which we have known. As Brian McLaren writes once again, he states, "Our desires, hopes, and dreams for the future guide us in how we act now. We align our lives by our hope, and in that way, our lives are shaped by hope." Let's hear that again. That's a good one. We align our lives by hope, and in that way, our lives are shaped by hope. We do well to spend some time, some reflection, prayer with these words. You might want to talk to God about how this has been true for you, in some specifics perhaps, or how you want it to be true for you as you relate to others and in your own life, how you want it to be true going forward. Consider what actions you will take because you align your life by your hope. There are many options. There are many options for us personally when we do that, rather than our fear, but aligning our life by our hope. And there are many options in our world, sadly, because so much continues to come up. There's still so much to do around issues of justice, peace, and healing. These new opportunities often crop up. The new bulletin board visible from I-95 that states nobody is born gay is one such opportunity to connect with our message that such messages, our message of hope, that such messages will one day end, and there will be a full inclusion of all people, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. My hope for this is taking me to the Richmond Gay Community Center today at 3 p.m. to be in a picture that is going to be used to counter that bulletin board. As Bill Harrison, the executive director of the Gay Community Center, states, everyone's invited to this. Everyone in town, lesbian, gay, transsexual, bisexual, trans, queer, intersexual, questioning, and straight. Everyone is invited to come and take part in this photo shoot. We do this to counter the message that what this sign, if you haven't been aware of this conversation going on in Richmond, and actually we've been making national and international news about this. The man pictured on that sign is Australian, so this has actually made it all the way there. So the message they're getting across, it's very, very hurtful because it's advocating that one should get therapy if one believes one is gay. One should get therapy to not be gay. And about that, Bill states, again, the executive director, he states, what we do know is that this type of therapy has caused many people to commit suicide. It is very harmful, this message. Hope leads to action to end such tragic outcomes that people would hurt themselves in that way because of what others say. Hope leads to action by offering the light of Christ to all. Our hope leads to actions as individuals and as a faith community in many ways. Consider this day here in the life of Holy Comforter. We have returned from our exile in the parish hall, right? We've returned from exile to the comfort and familiarity of the church for our worship services. Like many experiences of exile, it was not all bad. In fact, some may be missing our experience of worship in the Carey Montague room or some aspect of it. And like experiences of exile, we learned about ourselves in a way that could impact our life together going forward. Some of us learned that we like being physically closer to each other, while others were confirmed in their desire to sit in the back pew. Some of us really liked the feeling of being in the round. We got that a little bit right here, but we had it maybe more in there, meaning that the altar, the holy table, was more in the center of the gathered community, as was the preaching. And in fact, all the action of the Eucharist was more in the center. And such matters of configuration actually have theological significance, as many of you know. To be facing each other and to have the action of the Eucharist in the middle of the gathered community speaks of God being in the midst of us. God is imminent. When everyone, including the presider, faces away from each other, all in one direction, that speaks to the transcendence of God, God being above and beyond us. Both ways of knowing and understanding God have merit. But given our culture, our faith community, our concerns, our experience of God and of longing for God, we choose to enflesh our experience of God in community as one of God with us, God in the midst of us, and in the midst of what we do for others. Our worship and how we do it is one of the ways we make the way by walking. But I am very interested to know what your experience was in the parish hall. When you came in today, the ushers gave you a small yellowish piece of paper. And if you would like to, you could write on that piece of paper before you leave today and turn it back in what your experience of worshiping in the parish hall was like. What you liked about it, what maybe you didn't like about it. If there is an aspect you wish we could hold on to in some way. So I invite you to do that sometime before you leave today. How did our exile experience impact our way of understanding ourselves and how we want to live now? I'm going to repeat this again. We might want to be closer to each other. We might want to reconfigure this space, in fact, to move the action of the Eucharist more into the center, to move the action of the Eucharist, the experience of celebration. That's what this is. That's what Eucharist means. Celebration more to the center. We also learned more about ourselves as relates to knowing the experience of God by serving our neighbors, about knowing God in the midst of us in that way. Most of you will not be surprised about what I'm about to say because you already know how much we value outreach in this community, helping others, and how much we want to host Caritas. I was not surprised that when it was clear that our HVAC replacement might have not been done in time for us to have church in our church this day, we did not think for a moment, not a moment, about canceling Caritas. It did not surprise me, but I noticed it spiritually. And I really felt God saying in that moment when I noticed that no one thought of that, yes, this is who you are, my people of Holy Comforter. That would not be something you would consider. Because you see, because our Caritas visitors are here now, their beds are set up in our parish hall. If the church had not been ready, we could not have had church in here today. We could not have worshiped here. But we would have been worshiping God in our hearts and through our actions and through the love we have for our neighbors. We were willing to not have church here so that we could have church here, if you know what I mean. And our friends at St. Mark's had invited us to worship with them today if the heat had not yet been on. Yes, I planned for that because construction, you never know. It is a huge blessing that we're in here today. A lot of grace. For those of you who've been at Holy Comforter for years, this might not seem like a big deal. But for me, one who's known many churches, I can tell you this is a big deal that we didn't think of not having Caritas and really speaks to who we are for God in the world. Our hopes, many of which are heard in the words of Isaiah, Our hopes determine our actions as a community of faith. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day, for the blessing of being able to worship you in prayer and praise here and now, back in this beautiful holy space, and for the blessing of being able to worship you through loving our neighbors and acting for peace, justice, and healing in the world. Continue to guide us in all that we do, so that it may be to your honor and your glory through Christ in the power of the Spirit.